And here's a good mystery, because what or who is the organisation known only as Common Purpose? To its critics, it's a secretive network, not unlike the Masons. And the critics say they want to take over Britain, no less. But Common Purpose themselves say these accusations are baseless and conspiracy theories. At least we think they do, because as we found out over the last week, they're a bit cagey, to say the least. So, to pierce the secrecy, our man Adrian Goldberg has been investigating them all week. Adrian, who or what is Common Purpose?
Well, Jonathan, when we first stumbled across them, we thought we had the scoop of the year. By its own admission, Common Purpose operates in over 50 locations across the UK, has branches in Europe, Africa. Now there are plans to expand into India too. And in this country alone, more than 20,000 people have been on its training programmes. And as you said, critics say it is in fact a secret cabal at the heart of the establishment, spreading its tentacles far and wide to promote the breakdown of society, which it would then be in a position to control. I mean, serious stuff.
And they have some well-known members, don't they?
Not members, graduates, which is what they insist on calling people who have been through their courses, who are then part of their network. And their graduates include Cressida Dick, Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Met Police. She was in charge on the day when Jean-Charles de Menezes was shot, you'll remember. Mm. And also the BBC's business editor, Robert Peston.
Robert Peston, as in, I'm investing in Peston.
That's the one.
What is the case against them, then?
Well, the main mover of the campaign against Common Purpose is a former naval officer called Brian Gerrish. He specialises in complaining about declining standards in public life, dirty hospitals, failing schools and so on. And I suppose in that respect, he's not the only one. But he blames it on Common Purpose.
Have you noticed that nothing works anymore? If you look out the window and you look around Britain at the moment, we have absolutely amazing things unfolding. We have MPs who are taking enormous expenses to fund their houses. We have hospitals which used to be calm, orderly places now being riddled with dirt and inefficiency. We've got a railway system that doesn't run properly. We've got police who say that officers can't ride push bikes because that's too dangerous.
But those are mighty big claims. I mean, how can he lay all that at Common Purpose's door?
Well, some people would say that Brian Gerrish is a good old-fashioned conspiracy theorist, one of those people who think the Americans engineered 9/11, that Elvis isn't dead, that sort of thing. But Brian Gerrish argues that what he regards as the breakdown in society has been fostered by this secret organisation, Common Purpose, with the aim that its members will then be able to take control.
Common Purpose acts as an elitist networking organisation. It's a secret society for careerists, but the key point is that the networking is done out of sight of the general public. And the danger of that is we run the immediate risk that people are plotting and carrying out activities for their personal benefit and gain. You are sowing the seeds for corruption, bullying, intimidation, because it can all be done in the dark. If you actually look at the documented evidence as to what Common Purpose is doing, they are clearly not just a training provider. What they are doing is installing a new political system based on their own chosen leaders.
OK, so if you believe Brian Gerrish, what would these leaders do if they got into power?
Well, this is where the opponents of Common Purpose are a little bit vague, but they allege that it's all about promoting a European superstate, forcing diversity onto British society, and imposing a form of political correctness. In one video I've seen, Brian Gerrish has even said that they're trying to inject, and I quote, raw Marxism into society.
Any evidence of that?
Well, none that we've seen. Brian Gerrish claims that Common Purpose documents posted on the internet prove that the aim was to get Common Purpose future leaders controlling society who wouldn't be elected democratically, and that ordinary people would be coerced into a new way of thinking. Unfortunately, we couldn't trace these alarming memos on the web ourselves, and when we asked Brian Gerrish to send us the so-called snapshots that he's got of them, he either wouldn't or couldn't, so there's nothing we've seen to back up his claim. And when we challenged him on this, he put us in touch with the person who claimed to have seen these documents. Now, that person insisted on remaining anonymous, but said that he hadn't downloaded this incriminating material because he didn't want to leave a digital footprint, and he hinted that he was scared for his life.
And what do people who belong to Common Purpose say then?
Well, they tell a very different story. We've spoken to quite a few people who have been on Common Purpose courses who all say that it is what it says it is, i.e. a well-meaning organisation trying to promote the exercise of civic duty through networking events and training courses.
Ben, is there a Wizard of Oz here? Is there kind of like a, you know, a big chief behind it all? And if so, who is it?
Well, if you say Wizard of Oz, we followed the yellow brick road, and that led us to Common Purpose's founder and CEO, Julian Middleton, whose aim is, quote, to improve the way organisations and societies work by increasing the number of informed individuals who are actively involved in shaping the future of the area in which they live and work. Now, one Common Purpose graduate is Helga Henry. She's an arts manager from Birmingham, and she is adamant that there is, for example, no pro-EU agenda.
I'm sort of aware that there are some controversy and there are some people who think that Common Purpose is somehow fuelled by some sort of European agenda. But if it is, it certainly wasn't apparent in the course I went on. It simply didn't occur. To the extent I know about any controversy, it kind of baffles me, to be honest.
Having been on a Common Purpose course, do you now feel part of an elite, a group who may one day be the future rulers of the world?
That would be lovely, wouldn't it? If all you had to do was go on a course to do that, that would be great.
OK, we'll just go to the travel. We'll come back to this afterwards, Adrian, because there's interesting stuff about tax breaks and the fact that it's a registered charity, isn't it? Mm. Which is kind of what a lot of people think is the main cause for concern.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a sec, but first the travel with Corrie. OK, you could say it's a fuss about nothing, Adrian. We're talking about Common Purpose. But what kind of a lot of people find very interesting and think it's actually cause for concern is that they get hefty tax breaks because they're a registered charity.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We found nothing to support the lurid claims made by what you might term the conspiracy theorists, but there is definitely a bigger question, and it is this. Publicly funded institutions like the police, like local authorities, even the BBC, pay money to Common Purpose to host training courses, which is claimed are essentially networking opportunities for their staff. And there's also a concern that if Common Purpose graduates control the purse strings of major organisations, that might then show their loyalty to Common Purpose by sending colleagues on its courses. Now, when you bear in mind that one of their courses might cost around £4,000 for their matrix course, or a more sophisticated course might cost more than £5,000, you'll see how they've accessed millions of pounds of taxpayers' cash. Just one example, the Department of Work and Pensions spent £229,000 on Common Purpose courses between 2002 and 2007. And they've also been subsidised by the taxpayer in terms of office space, rent-free accommodation in government buildings in Sheffield for 12 years, 6 years at Stirling University. This is effectively a subsidy by the taxpayer, feeding a sense, however unfair, that Common Purpose graduates look after each other in the higher echelons of public bodies.
It sounds like a modern-day Freemasons.
Well, again, that is the criticism. Common Purpose says that its courses are open to everyone, not just to high flyers. They say they offer bursaries to help hard-up students. But when we ask them how many bursaries they've given in the last year, they wouldn't tell us. And that's part of a pattern, because, well, there's no evidence Common Purpose has anything to hide. They aren't exactly the most open organisation. Their meetings are held under Chatham House rules, which means they are confidential, and they keep a record of people who make freedom of information requests about them, they say, to fend off what they regard as malicious inquiries.
OK, finally, Adrian, briefly, just before we go to the cricket, what is the harm if you take the innocent view, which is just, it's, you know, a few like-minded people who are getting together for a drink and a nibble?
Well, Common Purpose encourages its graduates to be supportive of each other. They run a website, Common Purpose 360, to foster their global network, which is accessible only to graduates. So given that Common Purpose says it's attempting to reach the leaders of tomorrow in the police, local authorities, the media and so on, there is a danger that membership could operate as some kind of Latter-day Freemasonry, a club for those in the know. One opponent claims to have uncovered a memo about a meeting in Suffolk in which a local man was considered for inclusion on a local advisory board, but then appeared to be rather snobbishly discounted because he was, quote, too Ipswich. I should say that Common Purpose have invited me to speak at their meetings in the past as an unpaid guest, but I've never been invited on one of their courses either. Maybe I'm just too Birmingham.
Maybe you
Who's
are.
To know?
Maybe you are. Arlo White, the cricket.
101 for four now, 46 more required to save the follow-on. England have taken the new ball, 57 extras have been conceded. Chanderpaul 28, Nash is on 50, his fourth 50 in Test cricket. England just desperate for a wicket here. These two have added 98 together so far. West Indies 301 for four.
Right, I think this might be a first because we've actually got someone from Common Purpose live on the line now. Andrew Cubey, thank you for joining us.
Not at all. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. I believe you want to read out a statement briefly to start with.
Before I began responding to your questions, I thought it might be useful for me to say that the Charity Commission has stated time and time again that Common Purpose is a legitimate charity. Like hundreds of other such charities, it is simply a successful training provider working with the public, private and voluntary sectors. The allegations that are made are complete nonsense. And the principal reason I wanted to contribute to your program is to support the Common Purpose staff across the country who have, as a result of these allegations, received hundreds of anonymous phone calls threatening and harassing them.
Okay, we'll come back to you, Andrew. We've got Gawain Toler in the studio with us from UKIP. Gawain, what's your concern about Common Purpose? Because I suppose some people would listen to the so-called conspiracy theories and think, oh, it's a bit funny. But you're, you know, a respectable politician and you have concerns.
Yes, I do have some concerns. My concerns, I don't believe that Common Purpose are in fact lizards or anything of that sort. However, I do have deep concerns about the things that have been already discussed, the charitable status, combined with the secrecy, combined with the large quantities of taxpayers' money that go there. I wasn't particularly interested, but people were talking to me about it. I once showed some interest in going on a course, and no, I didn't get accepted to go on it.
Because the United Kingdom Independence Party wouldn't pay for you?
I was going to get European Parliament funds to do it, actually.
All right.
I'm allowed one training course a year. However, people are vetted. And I suspect because I was UKIP, I was vetted out.
But isn't it a positive thing? You know, we've had the establishment, haven't we, for, public school Oxbridge types, at least, 60s, 70s, 80s, running Britain. And now this is just an attempt, one would say a healthy democratic, possibly, attempt, to just have an alternative establishment. And that's got to be good.
No. I don't think so. I think this is very much part of what I describe as the new establishment. It's a technocratic, it's an anti-democratic, it's a we actually know better. One of the key phrases that Common Purpose uses is leadership beyond authority. And that in itself concerns me. Somebody, be it in the BBC or the Essex Fire Brigade or whoever who has been on a course, is taught to take their authority and lead beyond that authority.
You're not just jealous because they haven't asked you to join, are you?
Yeah.
We've got Robin Ramsey on the line, who's a conspiracy theory expert. What would you make of it, Robin? Are the conspiracy theory people way over the top, or have they got a kernel of a point?
There might be a tiny kernel. It's a fairly typical right-wing conspiracy theory. Right-wing conspiracy theories always look for or discover something going on inside the system which is going to corrupt it from within. 50 years ago, the same kinds of people would have been talking about, say, the Jewish conspiracy. And in a sense, it's a modern-day adaptation of the basic structure.
Do you think maybe that this kind of secretive thing is a deliberate ploy just to give them a bit of mystique?
I have no idea why they're so secretive. I cannot see any reason for it, and that's the one thing that might be the kernel which is of interest to me.
Right, well, let's ask Andrew Cubey, who's still on the line. Andrew, you hold your meetings under Chatham House rules, OK, so they're confidential. What have you got to hide?
Well, absolutely nothing, and quite a number of organisations have meetings in that way. I began to be involved in Common Purpose as a speaker, like one of your other contributors, found them really interesting, and interesting because being held under Chatham House rules, people were very frank. People talked about their failures more than their successes, and because that brings together people from the private, public and voluntary sectors, you get a very good buzz and dynamic, a very good learning process. This is about learning, it is not about a networking or membership organisation. Common Purpose is a training provider with what is termed in the phrase experiential learning, but it's good learning.
OK, you're a registered charity, OK, so, you know, you get very good tax breaks. How do you justify that? What do you do that's charitable?
Well, our purpose is educational. We don't make the rules that make education provision charitable. That started actually in the days of Elizabeth I, 400 years ago.
So you kind of sound slightly apologetic there, as if you can't believe your luck that you are a charity.
No, not at all. I mean, we're very positive about it, as are so many other training providers. I can think of several organisations I'm connected with, yeah, but, which have exactly the same status.
But what is charitable about what you do?
Well, do you think that educating people is a good thing to do? I think you're a graduate of King's College London. It is charitable.
How did you know that? Now, that is spooky.
It's quite simple. I googled you. I know that you've googled me.
Yeah.
One of the great joys of the internet
maybe
is
that
you can access information. One of the downsides of the internet is that it means that we have placed against us some pretty colourful phrases that Common Purpose is treason. Okay. It's a criminal organisation.
Yeah, well, we're not saying that, Andrew. I mean, that, you know, and there's absolutely no suggestion of that. But Adrian Goldberg's here, and he's been looking into Common Purpose.
Bent over backwards, I think, to be fair on this. But I'm astonished with the claim that Common Purpose is not a networking organisation. If so, what is the point of Common Purpose 360, which is the group on your website for graduates, which encourages them around the world to help each other?
Well, it is an alumni organisation.
A network,
alumni organisations for many educational institutions. And obviously people can choose to take part in that or not. But I think this is where the aspect of conspiracy really astounds me. Because simply because there's a mechanism for people to keep in touch after they've maybe had quite an interesting experience of learning, that is converted into some form of sinister organisation. In Scotland, we've technical term for that, and that is just blethers.
And just one thing, Andrew, I just wonder if your approach breeds a bit of kind of mistrust in the wider public, because one of our reporters the other day in the BBC was saying, oh, we're going to do a story about Common Purpose, yeah? And then she mentioned the name Common Purpose, and people started averting their eyes and shifting uneasily from buttock to buttock, and it's like, you know, they wouldn't admit it. So why don't your graduates just say, I'm a member of Common Purpose, say it loud and say it proud?
For the simple reason they're not members of Common Purpose. They have been in courses which Common Purpose have provided. And frankly, I meet people from time to time and learn that they may have been in Common Purpose courses, and they're entirely proud and pleased to say that.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much for coming on, because I know you don't come on very often. Just finally, let's tie it up. Robin Ramsey, what do you think of what you've heard?
I tend to think that the Common Purpose people have made a pretty good case against the conspiracy theorists, except for the reticence that the organisation shows and their reluctance to deal openly with journalistic inquiries. That still raises my hackles.
Yeah, I mean, Gawain Taylor, they just got a PR problem.
I'd find that astonishing when you've got people like Jeff Mulgan involved.
Jeff Mulgan being?
Former Number 10 Policy Unit, yeah. Head of Demos, things of this sort. These are people who are very well aware of how the modern world works and how the media works, so I find that amazing.
Yeah, but he sounded like, am I being naive here, but he sounded like a harmless, nice, intelligent chap.
I'm sure many of them are harmless, nice, intelligent chaps, but they are part of this technocratic elite that is now governing us, that is taking control away from people. It was described to me quite well as the Bilderberg for middle management. Mm. It doesn't like talking about itself. It is very secretive, and that very case in itself fosters conspiracy theories.
Very briefly, Adrian, final words?
I think the networking allegation stands for itself. No lizards, as we've heard, but more questions to answer.
Okay, thank you both. Thanks to all our guests. Ruth, finally, emails and texts?
Yes.
And is there anything you'd like to tell us?
No.
I saw you shifting uneasily from buttock to buttock.
No. I'm just a bit of an awkward chat. OK, yes, we've had one saying common purpose sounds like Opus Dei.